This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. With ongoing protests against violence in this country related to policing and conversations around police reform, Cincinnati Police Union President Sergeant Dan Hills has questions for city council. In fact, he handed them to council members directly recently. His questionnaire asks the mayor and council whether they, quote, join with anti-police protesters or, quote, give police some benefit of the doubt. So let's talk a little bit about that and the grade he gave to one particular councilman. Joining Cincinnati Edition to discuss the questions put to council are Fraternal Order of Police, Lodge Number 69, President Sergeant Dan Hills. Sergeant Hills, welcome back to our program.
Thanks for having me.
We're also joined on Zoom today by Cincinnati City Council Member Greg Landsman. Councilman Landsman, thank you for coming back on.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. And if you're listening and would like to join this conversation today, please give us a call, 513-419-7100, or talk at WVXU.org if you'd rather send us an email. Sergeant Hills, I do want to start with you because as Sherry Coolidge and the Cincinnati Inquirer reported recently, you had passed out these questions to members of council and the mayor and then ultimately graded the responses as it relates to their positions on policing and potential reforms. And one thing that you told the Inquirer in part is, quote, city councils, mayors, even governors have made sudden judgments of police officers and deadly use of force cases, and they're not supportive. It's had a chilling effect on police officers. I'm hoping you can elaborate a little bit on that, on what you believe police officers are feeling based on the discourse that's taking place within local governments, particularly our own local government.
Well, all you got to do is open up any newspaper, turn on any national news program, and see what's happening. You see whether it's Kenosha, Wisconsin, or any number of shootings, the ones police actions. Most recently, I believe it was in a town in New York. Name and sound's escaping me now. Immediately, governors and mayors and they come out with statements that make it seem as though the police are guilty of the actions they took without it even being investigated. The truth be told, that if you take any normal year, every police action, every police shooting that occurs across the country, 90-some percent of them are without any doubt justified. You're talking the ones that slip into the area of did they do something criminally wrong. You're talking about a handful or less. But yet right now, the reactions of the politicians / media and some parts of the public are to immediately react. There was a shooting somewhere where a police officer was being charged. I believe this one was in a New York town as well. A person was charging a police officer with a knife, and it was what I guess you would say a no-brainer. Yet there were demonstrations / riots afterwards. This is that whole Black Lives Matter Incorporated thing that is being pushed out there, that policemen are somehow inherently racist and they're going out there and they're shooting people because of the color of their skin. It's an absolute myth. It's an absolute heartbreaking thing that they're putting out to the public to get people to believe that. Policemen are human. And policemen are a group of people. So once in a blue moon, you'll have a bad apple or something happen that's wrong. I was one of the first probably union leaders to have the nerve to speak out against what I saw in Minneapolis. I cannot think of any justification for why you would continue to kneel on somebody's neck for the amount of time that he did. It didn't make any sense, and I came out right away and said so. But shooting in Atlanta, for instance, was a justified shooting in my mind. And you saw for political reasons there that the prosecutor went out of his way, not only charged the officer with murder, but also put in a death penalty spec. You don't think that has a chilling effect on police officers? I think you're not in the real world.
Okay, and just to remind our listeners, of course, the reference to Minneapolis there involved the death of George Floyd while in police custody. And then your reference to Atlanta involved police officer Garrett Rolfe. He fatally shot a man named Rayshard Brooks, who is also a Black man. He was shot twice in the back in a Wendy's parking lot. And Sergeant Hills, as you reference what you see as differences between those two cases in Minneapolis and Atlanta, I think it's important that we point out that there are questions raised in all of these about whether they're justified. You may say they are, but others aren't. It's a due process situation. And it seems like that's what you're asking city council to provide police officers, is to abide by the innocent until proven guilty. That is a foundational principle of our judicial system. But when someone in police custody is shot and killed, isn't that taken away in that instance as well? Aren't those people who are killed in police situations denied that opportunity to make their own case?
Well, absolutely not. What you're suggesting is that a police officer has something going to be judge, jury, and executioner, and that is not the case. Again, in the vast, you know, unless, again, you're talking about a very, very rare case. In most cases, police shootings are to protect the safety or protect the lives of a police officer, his or her partner, or another innocent citizen. Nobody is becoming a jury. They are simply acting in self-defense. And to take a right away from self-defense from a police officer or any citizen is an outrageous thought. And that's basically where we're ending up right now. We are determining that all police shootings are somehow some radically bad thing. And if you look at the facts and if you have any ability to come out of reasonableness on them, you'll find out that the officers acted in self-defense. The majority of them are self-defense cases. And no, they weren't. Again, judge, jury, and executioner, as you're suggesting. They're just simply trying to go home to their families. And unfortunately, when you're talking about police officers who have the ability, or who have often themselves end up not going home, they have the right and responsibility to protect themselves.
We're talking with Sergeant Dan Hills, president of the Fraternal Order of Police Lodge number 69 here in Cincinnati. Sergeant Hills, I'd like you to put into words what you see happening in the country, because the nation has been gripped not only by this pandemic, but by some civil unrest, some calls for what people see as injustice and police reform. And there's just been a lot of talk in general about the moment and the reckoning perhaps that this country is having with itself. What do you see happening in the country?
Well, I think, you know, first and foremost, that you have to say that you always want to improve, and you always want to improve relations. Here in the city of Cincinnati, a lot is made of the collaborative agreement. Well, collaborative agreement to me comes down to the two very simple things: transparency and communications. We are as transparent as we can possibly be, and we do the best job that we can to communicate. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't continue to become more transparent and communicate better. Those are absolute, again, no-brainers. We should work hand-in-hand better with citizens. We should continue to develop better strategies. But I think that for folks to suggest that we somehow in policing are still caught somewhere back in the Deep South 60s is absolute ridiculousness. And I think it's being used for political purposes. They are suggesting something that isn't true. It isn't even close to being true. It isn't even remotely true. They're suggesting it for political purposes. They're suggesting it to help motivate people to support them or support their cause or support their party for political purposes. I think it's evil. I think it's evil as heck. And look at the Black Lives Matters Incorporated as they push and push and push, suggesting that police officers are out there systematically picking people to hurt. It has caused a chilling effect on police officers across this country. Therefore, we've seen the murder rates go up. Here in the city of Cincinnati, for instance, we stand right now either at about 73 or 74 murders, because they just found three bodies shot to death in Avondale. I don't know if it could possibly be a murder, double homicide, suicide, or if it's three homicides. Either case, we're around 73 or 74 homicides. Now, I'm not real good with my math, but when we just hit 71, I played around with it a bit, and we were exactly on pace to have 100 homicides. The past record was 88. So if Black Lives Matters, why is it the policies and the actions and the political actions that they're taking, which no doubt are resulting in more and more Black lives lost? This is not consistent at all with what they say they care about. Look at Chicago. Look at Minneapolis. Look at all these places where so many people are dying, and a lot of them are black people. The majority of them in homicides in the inner cities are black people. They're a political movement. They're not somebody that really cares about black lives.
And that's Sergeant Dan Hills, president of the Fraternal Order of Police, Lodge Number 69. We're joined on Zoom also by Cincinnati City Council member Greg Landsman. And Councilman Landsman, you told Sergeant Hills, according to the Inquirer, quote, "I think you are misunderstanding the moment and what many, including me, want to see improved. I hope this changes." What did you mean by missing the moment, Councilman?
I think there is a genuine desire for change and improvement across the country, and to have folks who don't understand what the Black Lives Movement is all about to take some time and think about what folks are trying to communicate. But my big message is that we are all in this together and need to problem solve together, which is what the collaborative agreement is all about. I mean, there are pieces that take on communications and transparency, but it's really at the heart of collaborative is getting folks working together and problem solving. And you know, that's what I think we have to do. And I'm encouraging everyone, including Dan, to lean into that and say, look, let's all be in this together. The issue of gun violence and police reform are too big to approach, you know, in any other way. And you can be pro public safety and police and support reform and the Black Lives Matter movement. Just because it's divisive nationally doesn't mean it has to be divisive locally. We can be different. We need to be different. And that's what I'm pushing for. And the second thing is that, you know, we need to tackle gun violence and police reform in substantive ways, you know, so and they go hand in hand in many ways, like they're not mutually exclusive. So on one hand, you know, we're working to strengthen the citizen complaint authority. There will be pushes for updates to our use of force policies based on any number of things that have happened. Improvements to hiring and promotions, which a lot of officers have been asking us to do. And we absolutely have to keep people safe. And I've been pushing for a comprehensive community-driven plan to get guns and violent criminals off the street, which is police plus community. No one should be denied the basic right of a life free from fear and violence. And we should also include litter sweeps and anti-blight efforts and programming to get people back out. Pop-up job fairs. We just increased youth jobs by the largest amount ever. And do all that with real measures. This has to be the focus, you know, which is solving problems and bringing folks together to do so, which is really a doubling down of the on the collaborative agreement.
That's Councilman Greg Landsman here in Cincinnati. We're also joined by FOP Lodge Number 69 President Sergeant Dan Hills. We'll also get to some phone calls momentarily. Councilman, I want to note some more from Inquirer reporter Sharon Coolidge's reporting on this questionnaire that Sergeant Hills passed out to members of council and the mayor. And he told you, quote, "I gave you an F before, and now it is graduation day, and I wish there was an F minus. People are dying in the streets of Cincinnati, and our police officers are the best hope to turn it around. All I wanted was some reassurance that our council members weren't going to attack an officer that might have to use deadly force." Is that what you see happening, Councilman, attacking officers that might have to use deadly force?
No, not at all. So, you know, again, Dan is, you know, he's an elected leader and as the FOP president, and we need to all be working together. I think the divisiveness that is happening nationally doesn't have any place here locally. I think we're better than that. And I really do encourage Dan to, you know, be part of the problem solving, working with everyone on all of these issues, as opposed to, you know, finding ways to further divide people. And so I don't say that in a, you know, I don't want that to be taken as as anything other than encouragement for us to be different than what's happening nationally, because The issue of gun violence and getting guns and violent criminals off the street is an urgent issue. And the issue of racial justice and reforms across any number of systems is urgent. We have to do both. And the only way we're going to make real progress is if we do them together.
Let's go to the phones now. We have Andrew on the line. Hi, Andrew. What's your question or comment?
Hi, this is for Dan Hill. How do you continue to trot out the bad apples argument when you never do anything about the bad apples? The Cincinnati Police Union contract currently expunges officer disciplinary records after 3 to 5 years, prevents prior misconduct from being considered in new cases against an officer, and allows officers to overturn discipline through binding arbitration. None of that sounds like you're doing anything about bad apples, especially when they're led by a bad apple like yourself.
All right, Andrew, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate that. Sergeant Hills, do you want to take a moment to respond?
Yeah, sure. The police department disciplines people all the time. They fire people from time to time, and those disciplines and firings hold up a good majority of the time. Sometimes discipline, unfortunately, because policing has become so political, sometimes some of the discipline and charges against police officers are totally false. You, sir, brought up due process earlier. We work in the business of due process, and we also are thrown into chaos each and every day and asked to manage chaos and come out of it the best. So sometimes things that happen don't look pretty, but the people who are reasonable and have some understanding of the difficulty of police work can ferret through it and realize that what we've done is just, and that sometimes our arbiters, third-party arbiters, sometimes will see that a discipline was political and side in the favor of the union. So what this caller is suggesting is that the due process police officers seek and deserve is somehow not righteous, but due process for everybody else is. That's silly.
And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. I'm joined today on the phone by Fraternal Order of Police Lodge Number 69 President Sergeant Dan Hills. And we are also joined via Zoom by Cincinnati City Councilman Greg Landsman. More of your phone calls now. Let's go to Will. Hi, Will. What's your question or comment?
Well, I'd like to speak to Mr. Hill. Fact of the matter is, police officers have gotten nothing but the benefit of the doubt. And what their objection is, being held to account like everyone else. If they were policed in the way they police others, they would object. As a matter of fact, when the feds came to town and said, you know, just cooperate with us, the initial reaction was to resist, even though it's always, oh, if you just cooperate, nothing bad will happen to you. I have been in the situation where I've been falsely accused by a police officer who said he had an eyewitness to meet me doing shoplifting. He held me at gunpoint. He told me to turn out my pockets. And then after I turned out my pockets, I said, and I totally obeyed what he was telling me to do. I said, what's going on here? Et cetera, et cetera. And you know what? There was never an apology. There was never anything like that. And you know, as a matter of fact, the more I objected, the more he threatened that he would, you know what, I can do something to you.
Will, we don't have a lot of time.
And you know why I didn't do anything about it is because not that long before that, your officers who had killed Roger Oldsby, murdered him for alleged shoplifting, for which he was never charged, they got to walk away. You need to be held accountable like everybody else.
Well, thank you so much for your call. We do appreciate you listening and taking the time to call in. We obviously can't substantiate necessarily everything that is claimed by a caller. We also don't want to necessarily cast any doubt on that. So, Sergeant Hills, did you want to respond at all to that?
I just like you said, I can't verify what his claims are, and I don't know how to respond to him since I don't know anything about his particular case. Are there instances in which police officers make mistakes? They always will be because they're human, and humans will always make mistakes. But the Cincinnati Police Department is staffed by some of the finest police professionals in the country, and I think that the mistakes, like he's suggesting, was made, and we have no idea if it was or not, are held to the absolute minimum by CPD. So let
me bring in Councilman Landsman as well to respond a little bit. You're hearing some reaction from the community. Is this representative more broadly, or are you finding that the community is divided the way that you and Sergeant Hills are?
Well, I hope not. I mean, my the healthcare system went through something similar, a couple decades ago, and Children's Hospital, where there was a real push for improvement. And Dan's right, they're human beings make errors. And so what you do is you try to build, policies and systems where those errors are, diminished, eliminated to the extent they can be. And so Children's Hospital went all in on this idea of continuous improvement, and they started to train everybody and measure everything. And they got, they became the best at getting better. That was their big MO. And now they're, in the top three best children's hospitals in the country. And that's the push, what I'm suggesting, Dan and others, myself included, like we all should be leaning into this moment, and adopt a similar approach, which is to say, we are going to be the best at getting better, constantly improving across the board on every aspect of public safety, and that is nothing new, quite frankly. That is the collaborative agreement. That's what the collaborative agreement is all about. And one of the reasons why we haven't had some of the same issues here, even though there's been a few accidental police involved shootings in the last couple of months, is because we have the collaborative, because we have the CCA, because we have this process where due diligence happens, and it happens transparently, and there are mechanisms for real accountability. Do we have to, do better? Yeah, of course. But I, for one, do not want to be in a position where I am fighting with anyone who has to be part of the solution. And, Dan, like everyone else, all I've said is, you got to be part of the solution and work with us to reduce gun violence and keep people safe and pursue meaningful reforms that people are calling for.
Sergeant Hills, we received a letter that I believe was sent to you. The address asserts that it was sent to you. And so it was sent to us a day ahead of our conversation by a resident of the West End who worked with the West End Community Council. And I want to read part of it just to see where we currently stand on the collaborative agreement and the ongoing conversations about that as it relates to the FOP. And this letter says in part, quote, "We are one incident of thoughtless brutality away from a disaster. Unless you already have systems in place that have the confidence of the community, justifications for police violence, no matter how valid, will fall on deaf ears, and the public will assume that is just another case of misconduct. We call on the rank and file policemen and women of Cincinnati to show that they want to pay more than lip service to police community relations. We call on you to get your representatives back to the negotiating table." I know you may disagree with the characterization of events in that letter, Sergeant, but surrounding the question of negotiations, what is the status of negotiations as it relates to the collaborative agreement?
Well, I think the collaborative agreement is something that the police department is continuing to work very, very hard on. The police union has some issues with the so-called partners of the collaborative. They bring Iris Rowley to the table, and Iris Rowley continually accuses the police. I have her on video accusing the police of murders. The police officers are not and have not murdered anybody. There has only been one.
This is the problem. Like, Iris is a problem solver. Iris is trying. Like, she's got stories to tell and truths that she's got.
Iris is not a problem solver. She is somebody that's trying to stoke up the community. And if you don't see that, you're part of the problem. You also can't answer a question directly because people are dying in the streets. The same people that you're claiming you want to work for are dying in the streets. And you can't even recognize that. They're dying at a record rate. And all I wanted was some straight questions, because the chill that has happened across this country, the officers, has also taken place here. And you answered part of the question. You said that you want far, far less police shootings. Well, other than an accidental discharge that was caused by a suspect resisting arrest, how many police shootings have there been this year in the city of Cincinnati? Zero. And your still biggest concern is that there's far, far less police shootings. Meanwhile, there's been a few hundred shootings of citizens on citizens. There have been 70-some deaths. So we're comparing a few hundred to zero, Greg.
Okay, well,
and you want far, far less.
Let's go one
that
at a time.
That is what you see as a priority, is far, far less than zero. You can't have any less than zero, and you want far, far less than zero. So, you know, you're focused, you don't know the moment, apparently.
All right, Councilman, go ahead.
I'll let him get in, but I have to say one other thing. He claims that I don't know the moment. He doesn't know the moment. There are record homicides across this country. There's record homicides here in Cincinnati. People are dying, Councilman, and the police officers are the best remedy to doing it right now. They have proactive policing, and all you seem to be concerned about is trying to tell everybody about some sort of rogue police department that does not exist, and
it's
that the excessive uses of force by police that does not exist. So I'm sorry, you are part of the problem right now.
Councilman, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's just not true. It's really frustrating. I mean, I've spent most of the summer, certainly the last couple of weeks, working on a comprehensive plan. My focus has been almost entirely on tackling this gun violence and police, you know, and getting guns and violent criminals off the street. Like this is not one or the other. We can do both. But the fact of the matter is that
you can't do both if you're not giving confidence to the officers.
Okay,
one at a time. You're a city leader. And you're not doing that.
You are contributing
to the problem, Councilman.
Sergeant, let's make sure that we go one at a time.
I'll do my best. But, I know. He's got to start being a little more honest.
We'll give you another chance, of course, Sergeant.
The idea that that those of us who, first of all, we've been working on this issue of gun violence, and everyone seems to be working together, quite frankly, except for you. Number two, I'm working on gun violence.
You can't just make an accusation like that and expect it. I've been working on gun violence my entire 33-year career, and I tried to get you to give some confidence to the officers to be proactive. And you ducked it, Councilman.
This idea that people don't
you're not working to stop gun violence. I think you're working to self-promote Greg Landsman. Okay. So you go ahead and keep doing that while our cops go out there and risk their lives, and you give them zero confidence that they will not be attacked by you if something happens to them.
Okay, hold on. Sergeant and Councilman, we've got to start to wrap up.
I've never attacked an officer, and it's your officers, Dan, that come up to me
say... Oh, no, but you didn't give any reassurance that you would not. You didn't give any reassurance that you would not. You were asked simple questions, and you ducked them. That's why you got an F. Well, I wish there was an F minus.
Okay.
I need both of you to stop for just a moment.
We've got both Sergeant Hills and Councilman Landsman, if you don't mind. Let's not talk over each other. Let's not yell at each other in this way. We're going to try to have this conversation as we start to wind down. This is the FM side of the radio dial, so we like to be a little calmer in our discussions as best we can.
I love to be calmer, too, sir.
I'm not implying. I understand that passions are very high, and that's the point of us trying to facilitate a conversation like this, and we want to do it even better the next time that we're able to. I hope we're able to have a next time when you all can come back on and we can have another conversation.
I'll be there, sir.
I know you will.
I'll be there.
I want to give each of you 30 quick seconds just to wrap this up.
No one else fights like this. This is only with Dan.
Well, we do appreciate the fireworks since we didn't get to go to see them live on the riverfront this year. So thank you for providing some during the show, I suppose. And hopefully these conversations continue. We want to continue to remain an outlet where you can come on and discuss these issues. I'm also sorry to all the callers that we were not able to get to, because there are a lot of them. And hopefully when we do this again, and hopefully we can do it soon, you'll call back in and share your thoughts on this very important conversation. I do want to thank both of you, Fraternal Order of Police, Lodge Number 69 President Sergeant Dan Hills, and Cincinnati City Council Member Greg Landsman. Thanks to both of you for coming on.
You're welcome, sir.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer of today's show is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.